All Flex No Dex is an adult podcast. If you compared us to movie ratings, we'd be rated R. See episode notes for details. Hello, and welcome back to Epia, everyone. Today, we have with us Nicole.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nicole. I'll be playing Dinsby, your gnome mage, again today.
And we got Jasper.
Hi, I'm Jasper. I'll be playing Zenazari today.
And we have Zach.
Hey, everybody. It's Zach. I'll be playing Dandelion, the bard of the group.
All right. So last we left off, the party escaped the Underdark, finally, and found Flazenzo. The odd and potentially rageful gnome has established a home here at the party's behest, and a needed long rest has been taken. The party examined the weird paintings on the walls, and Zenazari consulted her chess set on where to go next. Zen asked, "Where shall we head to find the next shard we seek?" And the answer came from a familiar howling voice saying, "Oh boy, you again. Okay, hold on, let's see. In the mountains, maybe? I don't know. Travel 6 days west of here. Find the mining operation there. Good luck." And that is where we will start tonight's adventure. So Damon will speak up once Zen relays his information to the party. He says, yes, that would be the Dark Depths mining. Rumor is it's owned and operated by a gold dragon and its dwarves.
Gold dragon?
Yes, as the goodly dragon, the gold one. Shiny and metallic.
Does Dinsby know anything about gold dragons?
You could roll an arcana or a nature check.
Whichever's higher.
The two will give you different results.
Okay. I'm going to roll arcana.
Okay.
I was going to say, would Dandy be able to see if he knows anything in history about it?
About gold dragons?
Yeah.
You can roll.
Stories and such.
Sure. That'd be a 6 on the arcana check.
Dragons are made of dragons.
Yeah.
Great. 10 for history.
Yeah. Dragons are made of dragons. So, Dinsby, you don't know much arcana-wise. They're one of the more powerful goodly dragons, but otherwise you don't really know of their capabilities or what magical power drives them. You don't know any more than what your standard dragon would do or want or say.
Okay. I guess it'll have to be enough that I know that they're good dragons. Generally.
Dandy, you more or less know the same. From your history check, the stories, what few stories you do know about gold dragons, they're generally on the side of good. They usually have the best interests of the people. There's the exception for all races, but generally speaking, gold dragons are, they're good guys.
Sounds like a good time. Well, guess it's time we start heading west, right?
Flazenzo speaks up as you guys are getting ready to go and talking about where you're going to go.
Oh, hold on one second. Flazenzo found a thing for you.
And Flazenzo comes over and he has this kind of like an air wafer that's in a shape of like a kind of like a very large, it looks like a finger, kind of. He hands it to Dandy.
Flazenzo found it in the dragon's hoard. Flazenzo assumes it's magical.
Well, I can figure that out. And I'll do identify on it.
Excellent. Time for Tony's homebrew shenanigans. You, sir, need to make me a save.
Oh boy.
No. Oh, you're in for it now.
Dandy, roll me a wisdom saving throw.
That's not good. 15.
Dandy goes, yeah, And then he just starts dancing. Like a little like side shuffle back and forth. And you can't stop, Dandy.
Seems normal.
Do you attempt to stop, Dandy?
Yeah.
Okay. So you attempt to stop and your brain implodes a little bit.
What?
Take 22 points of psychic damage.
I die.
Dandy is he's jiving back and forth. He focuses really hard. He's like squinting and it looks like he's about to poop himself. And then he just collapses into the ground.
Oh no, Dandy. Rush over to him and see if I can tell what's wrong.
He's bleeding from his nose and he's in death saves.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that looks really serious. Dinsbeet doesn't really know what to do. He's going to start rummaging through his packs, looking for anything that could possibly help.
You can make a medicine check to stabilize him.
Well, I guess it's worth a shot. Let's see what happens.
Let him die.
You can roll a medicine check. That's an 18. Okay, yeah. He's stabilized. He is at zero.
Whew. Ah. Oh my God.
Damon would be like, what just happened? What did he do?
Well, it's most likely that something bad came of him trying to identify that thing.
Dinsby, why don't you roll me an Arcana check?
Sure see if you, thing.
See if you recognize the item. Meanwhile, Damon has a potion. He's going to give the potion to Dandy, and he doesn't drown you. You heal for 7 points, Dandy. Roll with advantage, because Damon's also knowledgeable in the Arcana.
Oh, okay.
He'll give you the help action.
Nope, we'll stick with the 14.
Okay. The item's familiar. You're not sure the specifics. If you know that if Identify is cast on it, there's a trigger spell, and that is essentially what the item does, is what it made Dandy do. But the trigger for the item is by breaking it. That's how you activate it.
Oh.
So it is a one-time use, but there is a failsafe if you try to identify it. If you make the save, then you'll have successfully identified it and know everything about it.
All right.
But between the two of you, that's what you figure out as far as its magical properties and what you just observed.
Okay. I'll tell the others about that now that Dandy's awake and shaking the death off out of his head.
Dandy wakes up and immediately looks at Flazenzo. You tried to kill me. Everybody keeps killing me. Stop.
Well, Flazenzo was not trying to kill you. If Flazenzo wanted to try to kill you, you'd be dead.
Why don't you give it to me? I'll add it to my things of weird.
Fine.
All right. I have you said it was a finger?
It looks like a finger, like a giant Cheeto.
Neat. I'll put that in my extras with my other weird things.
All right.
We'll just put that away.
Yeah, Damon says, well, thank you for that, I think, Flazenzo. Yeah. So you guys should go investigate this mine and find that shard if there's one there. I need to stay here. My brother Bulmong, he was here with me, and this was the last place that we saw each other. If he returns, he'll be coming here first. And he's either going to find our father or find the clan, which means that they'll probably come back here. So I need to stay here to meet with him.
You're leaving us?
We'll return again. Dandy, and he reaches out his hand. Could I get one of those speaking stones?
I thought he was going to take mine away from me.
Did he take it away from you?
I thought so, because he got tired of my not-so-fun communications.
Well, he hands you one back. And then as you reach out to take it, he second-guesses himself, pulls his hand back real quick, and then looks over to Dinsby and he says, you take it.
The best choice you could have made there.
whoa, hey.
All right, Dinsby will take it. It's called a speaking stone?
Yeah.
And Damon's going to have its pair?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
For the time being, we should part ways. I will stay here with Lazenzo and help shore up the house and wait for my brother and the clan, hopefully. With any luck, Bullmung will return with our master.
Hey, we got this.
Yep.
No worries, man.
Be fine.
We're going on a trip. Dindy starts to leave.
Half alive.
Yeah. Can we actually make camp first? I know we just woke up, but, you know, almost dead again.
Well, you did just almost die, so.
And now you're walking off in a direction that might be wrong. Let's just wait a second.
You want to take a short rest?
Mr. DM, what time of day is it right now?
It's morning. You guys finished a long rest here. But you guys have just gotten up and you're about to pack up and leave after Zen finished using your chest set.
If we do a short rest, I can go ahead and do Song of Rest, which will add an extra D6 worth of hit points. So at least that'll help out.
Can he do a short rest if he's riding on a mount? Or do you have to be stopped?
You have to be resting. So if you guys were in a wagon or something and he was able to like lay down, then that's fine. But when you're riding on the back of a mount, that's not resting.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, I guess we can take a short rest, but I think you'll be fine after that. We're just walking for a long time.
Wait, do we no longer have our mounts?
Your mounts are there. They're there. They're tied to that tree that's just outside of the Havling home. You guys, you put the horses there a long time ago.
Oh, goodness. They're still there? Are they dead?
No, because Deus Machina. They've been eating grass. They're alive.
Hey. I'm super glad my horse isn't dead.
Don't worry about it. I forgot about the horses as well. So,
well, that works. That works for all of us.
Neat. All right.
They're like Roach. They're just immune to death.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Keep getting stuck behind fences, but they'll show up anywhere else.
Yeah. They'll appear on roofs, on top of a dragon. They'll talk to you sometimes.
Damn it, Roach.
I love
what you. You gotta name them now. Come on. They're not gonna die.
You should name them.
Well, Dinsmeet's gonna talk some more in Gnomish with Flazenzo while Dandy's taking a short rest and shaking off the death.
Short rest.
All right, what do you want to say to Flazenzo?
I'll just ask him to show me around his little place here and tell me about his plans and all that sort of stuff. Just kind of small talk.
Flazenzo is excited the more he thinks about it. This half-elf, Damon, will stay in Helibay so we can rebuild this home. It'll be a nice deep dome home. You know, there's plenty of dragon meat, so that'll be delicious. There's not much in the way of spices, but I can make do. It's more spices than I had in the Underdark. I had mushrooms and dirt, so this is good. Those weird dragon geese paintings, I'll leave those up. I like those. Those entertain me.
And
he's got a pet tea dragon.
And he's got a pet tea dragon, that's right.
He's super set.
Yeah, Flazenzo rambles on. He's pretty happy. He's also happy that he has friends now, too. Flazenzo was so lonely.
Flazenzo sitting there pretending she understands what they're saying.
Nodding.
She has nothing else to do, yes. Yeah. Just,
Oh, yes.
After the short rest, Dandy hops back up. And he is set to go.
Okay. And then it has been a long rest, so it's technically the next day. So the stuff that resets after a day is available now. Then.
Don't remind her of that.
I got to.
Hey, you like gambling, don't you?
There's also the bag, too.
Then loves getting little trinkets and things. So, you know, collecting things. Are we outside or are we inside the little house thing?
I mean, you're currently inside the house, but you can just walk outside.
I'm going to walk outside and like walk like 10 feet away from my duck and be like, okay, what have you?
Okay. So the duck is going to squeeze out another egg. Are you guys all inside? You let Zen just wander outside?
No, I told them what I was doing. So. And I make sure it's far enough away from the house so something drastic happens. It won't destroy our new friend's home.
That's good.
And Dinsby will stand 30-ish feet away, but he needs to see what's going on.
Okay. So you guys all go outside and you watch Zen crack open this egg. And as soon as it cracks open, there are 8 owlbears that just come out of fucking nowhere, like out of the ether, and attack Zen. Roll initiative.
8 owlbears?
Yeah.
What even, is that just a bear? I don't even know what that is.
Cool. An owlbear is a monstrous cross between a giant owl and a bear. An owlbear's reputation for ferocity and aggression makes it one of the most feared predators in the wild.
Oh, super.
So neat.
It looks like a bear with a big-ass owl head.
Tame one? I'm sad now. That'd be cool.
Maybe if you found them naturally in the wild and not a duck of any shenanigans. Right. You create existence and existence is pain for them or something, so they're angry with you.
I'm Mr. Beezeeks.
Right.
Well, this is where everything ends. Sorry, audience.
Oh my goodness.
How many owlbears?
8.
Oh man.
I got a 19.
16.
Six.
Wait, I changed that. Sorry, it's 21. I forgot to add my bonus.
Okay, 21. And for the purposes of making my life easy, I'm going to say that Flazenzo and Damon are busy doing something inside, so they don't know what's going on. Unless this battle goes on for a lot longer than it ought to.
So you got that handy-dandy grenade, right?
Dinsby's going to be immediately calling for help from Flazenzo and Damon.
I mean, I could do it, but it would make things... Zen doesn't know what it is. She just knows it's a grenade. I don't even know what a grenade even is.
This is true. You don't.
I just know it's a throwing object.
You also have the Cheeto finger.
You do.
I do. I don't know what that does either. I have so many options.
You do. Time to figure out. This is a high challenge rating.
I've given you a lot of bullshit. You've just been hoarding like a goddamn dragon.
I don't even know if it right. if it I go first or not, so I'll wait to figure this out.
Okay. So Zenizari does go first.
Oh, fuck.
You do not have time. You're too quick.
Throw it.
Oh, God. Okay. Where is it? I have to find it in my inventory. Where is it? There it is. Grenade of many things. What does it do? I mean, I know what it does, but... Okay, so I have to roll a d10... and see what explodes forth. Okay, D10. Am I going off the list it gives me on the description? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Just make sure.
Yep.
D10.
So Zen fishes in her bag, all panicky like, and pulls out the grenade. And she goes, "Grenade!" The rest of you don't know why she needed to yell that, but it seemed appropriate. And she pulls the pin and throws it at her feet, since the owlbears are all swarming around her.
Oh my god, goodness. That's great.
This is awesome.
So I throw it and fucking 20-foot radius of vanilla pudding just comes out of everywhere. Okay, so make a dexterity check for... what is it? Let's see. So any creature that moves quickly through it must make a dexterity check of 12 or fall prone.
Oh, Lord.
So it's helpful. At least I didn't get 10 more grenades.
Okay, so what's the DC check?
12.
So that's one saved. One failed. One saved. There's fucking 8 of them.
So they have to do it every time because it says when you move through it. Unless their movement speed is bigger than the 20-foot radius.
Okay, I'm just going to roll once for them then, as a party.
Okay, sounds great.
They're going to constantly keep trying to go, but I'm not going to roll 8 times every turn.
I figure that's why I'd probably tell you that it said that.
So, as a group, they collectively saved. But I will say, because you're covering vanilla pudding all over the fucking place, they will have disadvantage on their attacks.
Heck yeah. So that counted as an action, right?
Yes.
Okay. And
remove the grenade from your inventory.
Yeah, I was getting there.
One shenanigan finally used.
Yay. Remove. Delete. Yes. That's gone. Do I have a bonus action?
Yes.
Let's see. Am I in the vanilla pudding? I don't even know where I'm standing anymore.
Yes.
The middle of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Is a dex save? I will do my movement to get out of it. Dex save.
There's you are surrounded by the owlbears?
Oh, no, I'm surrounded. Yeah. Oh, no.
So
I thought they just all popped out in front of me.
Not in front of you. You're surrounded.
Oh, God. Oh, goodness.
There's 8 owlbears surrounding you and looking to rip you to pieces. And now there's a 20-foot radius of... Or it is radius, right? So 40-foot diameter?
I don't have it up anymore. I don't know. Probably. Okay, I'll invoke my right on my weapon so when I attack, or if I get to attack, it'll hurt more.
Okay. So the vanilla pudding just splooshed all around you, and it's a 20-foot radius, so 40-foot diameter, 20-foot in all directions from you, is all delicious, slippery pudding.
They should eat that instead of me.
So, Dandy, it is your turn. That was a weird series of events that just fucking happened. Zen cracked an egg, 8 owlbears appeared and attacked her, and then she fished out a grenade and said, "Grenade!" and threw it at her feet, and pudding exploded everywhere. What are you going to do?
And it's a perfect time to sing a song.
It's always a perfect time to sing a song.
Oh my God, I'm going to die. That's great.
Are these animals? Or are they considered monsters, Tony?
They are large monstrosities.
I don't know if my spell speak with the animals would help here.
No.
Boo.
They're not beasts. The spell specifically targets beasts, doesn't it?
Comprehend and verbally communicate with beasts for the duration.
Yeah, they're not beasts, they're monstrosities.
Okay, well, I don't have speak with monstrosity, so. I mean, I do. Comprehend languages. For the duration, you understand the literal meaning of any spoken language that you hear.
Okay, they're not speaking, though.
I know. I'm trying to make it so that helpful. I can speak to them.
Okay.
Like, so going to persuade them not to eat me right now, are you?
I was going to. After all, as you said, there's delicious pudding at their feet.
You are.
God, I'm scared.
You are welcome to try.
It's not going to work.
Look, it's either this or I'm going to die too, because I'm the bard of the group.
Well, we know they might disappear after I die since I summoned them.
This is true. So,
or maybe kill the duck. Actually, where's the duck?
It's hiding.
Cool. Perfect.
Okay. Well, I'll try and communicate with them.
Okay. So how are you doing this?
It's comprehend languages.
So you have to cast a spell?
Yeah. It's okay. An action.
So you can either use your bonus action to say about 6 to 10 words, or you'll have 5 words to speak during this turn.
Okay. Sounds good. So.
That's one.
Wait! Don't eat our friend.
Okay, that's over 5. You're going to use your bonus action?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't eat our friend.
Yep.
Well, owlbears don't have a language. So roll me a persuasion check at disadvantage.
Ew. Okay.
It'd be more of, for one, if they even notice you. And then two, if they can properly read your body language.
So with disadvantage, I got a dirty 20.
So their intelligence check was a 0. So they don't know what you're doing, but they're fairly confident they can eat you next.
All right.
So they don't stop.
Well, that was my plan.
All right. Then it's the owlbear's turns. This is going to be a whole bunch of bullshit as they basically thrash around in the pudding. What's your armor class then?
16. I am not going to survive this, most likely. Shit.
That's one beak hit, one claw hit. The pudding is fucking them up. It's another claw hit. The pudding saved you from a natural 20.
Woo!
That's another beak hit.
Oh, 34. I'm going to die.
Okay. So the way the mechanics work in D&D is only so many can surround you at a time, and they're large creatures. You got hit with two claws and two beak attacks. And the rest of them are just milling about trying to get to you. So that is... Do you want me just to add it up for you?
Yes, please.
Give you one big whopping death blow.
Yeah, that works. Goodbye, world.
We're barely 20 minutes in and I've already dropped two of you.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I'm great.
That's 56 points of piercing and slashing damage, then.
Yeah, no thank you.
And you have 34 hit points?
Yeah, I'm dead. Very much so.
So, no, you're not dead. You're in death saves. It doesn't outright kill you. You just see Zen go, grenade! Throws a grenade down, and then the owlbear just swarms. She's like, oh, God! Then it is Dinsbeat's turn.
Oh, my goodness. Right. Yell for Flazenzo and Damon.
Okay.
Help, help! And then how close together are the owlbears bunched?
Very close together. You can hit all of them with a spell that encompasses a 40-foot diameter.
Okay. So what I'm... Do they fly?
They do not fly.
Okay. I'm going to... Well, what I want to do is I want to run up and throw my patch of pit underneath of them so that they fall down into the pit. I have a pit patch from my robe of useful items.
Okay. So how big is the pit?
10 cubic feet. So 10 feet on each side and 10 feet down.
Okay. These are large creatures, but they're kind of right next to each other. So I can say, I'll say that you could get two of them. One will fall on top of the other.
Okay.
Is that what you want to do?
Yes.
Okay, roll me a dexterity check. Make sure you sling the patch over there correctly.
That's an 11.
Okay. With an 11, I'm going to say you can get it underneath one of them. The second one has, like, its paw, like, slips in for a second, or whatever noise owlbears make, and catches himself and bites himself. But one does fall in the pit, and it's trapped now.
Tell me that they don't go ahead and just, you know, all slide in there with all the vanilla pudding.
Yeah, I was gonna say, shouldn't they have a disadvantage?
Well, they're no longer running, and the pudding was if you're moving quickly.
Just saying, a hole opening up, pudding goes flowing in.
It's not, the grenade is not perpetually creating pudding.
There is a good 4-foot layer of pudding on the floor right now, in a 40-foot circle.
All eight of them are not going to slide into his 10 by 10 cube. No, they are large creatures. Big ass bear creatures.
I think if Zen survives this, she's going to kill that duck.
But the duck
doesn't know it yet.
You had one bad egg?
That's true. Damn it.
I mean, by all means, if you want to kill the duck, kill the duck.
No, because I feel like if I kill the duck, it'll be like a bag of holding and everything will happen at once.
Everything will just pop out at once. All yeah. Possibilities.
Exactly.
Maybe.
And this duck's going to follow me around to the end of time. So next time I'll just do it farther and farther away from everybody. So it only is my fault. Just
completely isolate yourself every time your curiosity gets the better of you.
Yep. Which will be once a day.
Anything else, Dinsby?
No, that counts as an action. So there's really nothing else I can do. I don't have anything that is quick enough for a bonus action.
Okay.
Other than to get back away from all of them with the rest of my movement.
So you back up and you call for Flazenzo and Damon, and the both of them come running out, and you see Damon comes running out and he sees what's going on, and he fishes in his bag the dragon dildo that you remember is the wand of polymorph.
Oh yeah.
And he whips it out and slaps himself across the face. He turns into a massive red dragon. You can see, like, as he slaps himself across the face, he pulled down his Bempo, his Oni mask that he has, and then transforms and roars at the owlbears, and they all scatter. They full run, and for the most part, they all slip and slide in the pudding. They don't run away very quickly or easily. They all book it.
Is there anything? Except for that one trapped in the pit there.
Yeah, except for the one.
We unleashed owlbears into the world.
Damon will chase the owlbears a little bit just to make sure they go away permanently. And you have one owlbear in the hole. And Zenizari, it is back to you. Roll me a death save.
18.
That is one success. Also, Flazenzo does his roar, and he starts chasing after owlbears too. Flazenzo doesn't know what's going on. So he's just off to go attack something. Dandy, it is your turn. Combat is more or less over, but Zenizari is dying.
I look at Zenizari and cast Healing Word, just go, wow, wow, that just happened, wow.
Wow.
Heal you for 9 points.
Feeling very Owen Wilson-y up in here. Wow.
I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, no, it's fine. This is fine.
I'll just like lift my head and look at you and just lay back down. Nope.
The duck and your tea dragon will come up and cuddle you.
Yep. I welcome it. Just lay there
on the ground, feeling like death and covered in pudding.
I eat some of the pudding.
It is delicious.
Yep.
There's owlbear still in the hole, by the way. It's making sad noises now.
No, you know what you did.
Oh. Eat your pudding.
Are we going to try and kill this thing?
Here, hold on. Let me try something. And Jinsby will pull out his staff of the controller and try to charm person on it.
Okay, you would need to cast Charm Monster.
Oh, okay, and not considered a humanoid?
It is not a humanoid.
What about Command? Does Command work on them?
I believe so. You'd have to.
Oh, no, because they have to understand your language.
Yeah, they don't speak or talk or anything.
Okay.
Oh, time to get poking.
So Damon and Flazenzo eventually come back, and Flazenzo sees that you have an owlbear in the hole. And he gets really excited.
Oh, Flazenzo will have food for days. That looks delicious.
Let's get it, Flazenzo.
I'm going to kill it now or later, as I say, as I eat more pudding.
Flazenzo jumps in the hole.
Oh. All right. I'm just going to lay here.
You need to help Flazenzo or he will die.
I jump onto the back of the owlbear with my rapier to get stabbing.
Okay, and he's in this hole, so it's a lot of like close quarter combat, and you guys, between you, Flazenzo, and the owlbear in this 10x10 hole, it's more of just thrashing wildly until one of you stops moving. Fortunately, the owlbear stops moving first. It's kind of hard for him to do anything besides peck at you guys.
Especially if I wind up getting a natural 20 at any point in time.
Go ahead and roll 3 times.
And I rolled a natural 20.
Okay, so what happens on a natural 20?
So with a flourish of the rapier and glitter going all over the inside of this hole, full of pudding and glitter, and it's awful. It's hard to breathe in there.
Awesome mess.
With a straight jab to the back of the creature's head, it goes ahead and needs to make me a constitution saving throw.
They are hardy.
Does it make a 15?
Nope, that's an 11.
Saving throw or be slain instantly as the sword tears its life force from its body.
It dies instantly. It goes, argh, and shudders and just dies. meanwhile,
a pile of glitter and pudding.
And in the pudding and all the glitter and bullshit, you hear Flizenzo screaming while the owlbear is also hooting and hollering.
Ah! Ah!
As Flizenzo is in his berserking rage.
As soon as they jumped in the hole, Zen would have crawled over to the edge of the hole, just there on her elbows, eating pudding with the duck and her dragon, just watching.
It is a weird spectacle.
For sure.
A lot of pudding, a lot of blood, lots of glitter. Everything's covered in glitter.
Came to the right party, maybe. Took a wrong left turn, but, you know, same thing.
I'm, like, imagining that. Okay, so there's this dragonborn sitting, laying on her stomach with her elbows on the ground, head in her hands, like swinging her feet back and forth, watching towards this pit as like all this noise is coming from the pit and feathers are flying up and glitter's flying up and blood's flying up and everybody's screaming and making noises.
Exactly what she's doing.
Zen's and then just kind of like grabbing some pudding every now and again and putting it in her mouth. And
Zen's also covered in her own blood too.
It's very much in pain, but very much enjoying what's happening. This was a good decision. I don't regret anything. Eating pudding.
Dinsby's just going to like sit down and shake his head and wonder if he's having a really bad dream right now.
With all that being said, do you guys want to wait to trek out until tomorrow after you've had another long rest?
Andy gets out of the hole and says, "Well, that was fun. All right, let's get out of here."
You gonna carry me?
I healed you, kinda. You're fine.
I can't get up this night. That did nothing.
Are you broken or are you just feeling really drained?
I have 9 points out of 34. Extremely drained.
Once again, I can do short rest and we'll get an extra D6? Yeah, an extra D6 worth of hit points back.
Well, I mean, we can travel, but if anything happens, you can't count on me to do anything.
I mean, what could possibly happen? It's not like owlbears just appeared out of nowhere to attack you.
I know, right? They just had a vengeance, apparently. I don't even know what I did.
Quack.
You know what you did.
Dandy kicks the duck in the hole. No! I fucking kicked Dandy in the hole. My duck!
In the hole, Dandy.
Yes. Just like with all the duck Dandy's didn't even go in the hole. Rage.
You kicked the duck and the duck just flew in and landed on my shoulder and I kicked you in immediately after. What the hell? I get on my horse. I'm ready. Let's just go.
Okay.
Can't count on me for anything.
All right. Denizari's in a bad mood. She had elbows attack her. So Damon and Flizenzo will wave you off then. And you guys will ride off on your mounts that you still need to name and leave behind the mess of pudding and blood and owlbear.
And glitter.
Glitter.
After this event, I name it horse pudding.
Perfect.
My dog's name is Rocco.
The Dinsbeats pony's name, Francy Feet.
This is a great group we have.
So, for defeating the owlbears, because you, as a party, you technically defeated them. They're not dead. Only one died, but you still ran them off. You each get 250 experience points.
Woo!
That being said, Dinsby, please roll me a D6. Determine your random encounter for the first day heading out.
You got it, buff. Be a 2.
A 2. It's getting on towards evening, later in the day. Nothing else weird happens, mostly because you didn't make something else weird happen. The world's pretty normal so long as you're not fucking with it with wild magic stuff. You guys come upon a Havling home. You can see a little smokestack out from it, and it's on your way to the mines. You want to stop by and give a knock?
Work occupied?
There's currently smoke coming out of the little stovepipe. at the top of the Hadley home, someone's home.
And what time of day did you say it was?
It's getting on towards evening. The sun's starting to set.
Okay, yeah, let's stop and see if maybe we can give them some coin to let us stay with them or in their barn or something.
Does Dandy see any signs on the door like the last Hadley home had?
No, but Zen and Zeri, you recognize this place. This is the home of one of your contacts. This is related to your background, your bounty hunting background. This is the home of Fennel Witherrot. She's a Hadley woman.
Ah, yes, I will go up and knock on the door.
So a younger Hadley woman answers, and it is Fennel Witherrot. She opens the door and she goes, "Oh, Zen. It's been a bit since I've seen you.
Yeah. And your friends. These are my little friends. Do you have a healing potion? I'm dying here."
"Oh, yeah, you do not look good. The blood law on you is very crusty, and you're covered in... What are you covered in?
There may have been an issue with a grenade and owlbears, and then there's some pudding involved. It's really good pudding. It turned out pretty good. This is my duck that the owlbears came from somehow. This is Mr. Moose. But yeah, they can explain better. I'm tired. Can I take a nap?"
"Dear, you sound delirious. Come on. Everyone come inside." "Everyone come inside." And as you guys all come inside, she double takes at Dandy and her eyes get wide and she says, "Are you Dandy Lion?"
"Ah, yes, I am."
"Oh,
don't encourage that one."
"Man, I didn't know you were running with celebrities."
"I tend to do some cool things."
You go lay down." And she just...
Yeah, I collapse on the floor. I'm like, "Have fun."
She's already ignoring you.
Yep.
She hasn't even seen Dinsbeat yet. She's like, "Oh, it's so nice to be able to meet you, Dandy."
Well, it's always good to meet fans, to know that my name is still being heard out there.
"Oh, I love your stories and a lot of your songs, too. Please, come sit."
Andy goes ahead and follows to sit.
She'll start putting on some tea, little teapot. Dinsby, do you speak up? You address yourself?
Yeah, so, you know, I have that whole starving child background thing.
Right.
And so I'm going to go up to her and kind of tap her on the arm. And give her my best orphan eyes and say, "Please, miss, do you have some food?"
So what's funny about this is she's a halfling, so she's your same size.
Okay.
So it's not like you're a kid. So
it's in my background that's the way I'm treated. I'm treated like a poor starving child, regardless of who it is.
Right, right. So she'll turn around. She's just like, "Oh my, you bring along children with you? You're a very large child, though. You're not a child."
"No, I'm not a child. But can I please have some food? I'm very hungry."
Of course, love. Of course. "Zen, how you doing?"
"I'm good."
She'll go and she'll get some food together. As she's cooking, she'll ask you guys, so what's your business?"
"Well, we're out for another story."
"And you came to my home? I'm flattered."
Dinsbeat's going to focus on the food and just let Dandy do all the talking.
"What do I know my friend to be best at?"
"You know, Fennel, she generally knows the surrounding area really well, which is why she's one of your contacts. Every now and then there are some farmers that settle here, and there has been more or less like a very small village, like a tribe's worth of people that have rooted not far from Fennel's home."
Okay.
"And she's told you this information before. That's how you know about them, as Fennel told you about them. And aside from that, she does, she is a purveyor of fine leathers. So she does a lot of leather working, and she usually has leather magical items. She trades with you sometimes when you come through."
"Awesome."
So you guys eat. She gushes over Dandy all night long. And do you guys go ahead and take a long rest here?
As long as she's okay with providing us hospitality.
100%. She gets bed mats out for you guys, and she tries to make you as comfortable as possible. She's
awesome.
Super hospitable.
All right.
Fantastic.
Dinsby will take full advantage of that.
She does. She's polite, and you know, she addresses Dinsby and Zen when questions arise. But for the most part, she is all about the dandy. She's just swooning.
As everyone should.
Right. She's asking about your exploits, what work you're working on right now, all sorts of shit.
I tell her that I'm currently working on a wonderful masterpiece of a story about stopping the world's end from a terrible ancient dragon.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing.
Yes, it's still a work in progress. I have much work to do on it, though. So we're on our way to the mountains to get talking with that gold dragon up there.
We'll tell you, the gold dragon up in the Dark Depths mines. That's Mir Sarex.
Ah, Mir. Interesting.
He's a good guy. Go ahead and roll me a history check, Dandy.
Man, my history checks are garbage. I got 12.
They shouldn't be garbage.
It's intelligence, not charisma based.
Don't you have, well, I guess you would have had to pick it as one of your, I can't even think of the fucking word now, skills, you know?
No, I don't know why you keep asking Dandy, because Jinspeed is proficient in history.
Yeah, geez. Come on.
So, circling back to how many games we're running. Dandy doesn't know shit. Dinsby, why don't you roll me a history check?
Can do.
You overhear the conversation, because it's not like Fennel's being quiet.
I rolled really poorly as well. That's an 8.
Mir Sarex is a gold dragon. Yep, yep.
Well, then I'll do it too, because I'm listening.
Okay.
I got a natural 20.
Fantastic.
Freaking ninja.
So you know of Mir Sarex through your various contacts and being around. He's an ancient gold dragon, and he's been running the Dark Depths mines for a long time now. He's a good gold dragon. He's good to his dwarves at mine, and he also has Zorn that work there too, which are kind of like elementals that the dwarves think are like their cousins. He has some gnomes under his employ, too.
Neat. This guy sounds real stand-up.
So, fast-forwarding the night of gushing and eating and fooding and drinking and what have you, you guys take a long rest, and you wake up in the morning. Again, Fennel is super hospitable, and she gets you guys food and drink, and she'll ask you, before you all head out, are you needing anything? I got a couple of items I'm willing to part with for trade.
What items?
I have boots of blinding speed. I have a pair of boots of phasing. I have athletics training boots. I also got these boots of frontin' and stuntin'.
What are the boots of frontin' and stuntin'?
Frontin' and stuntin'. It's spelled as it sounds.
Okay. Yeah, that is
boots
how it's
of phasing.
You want me to read it to you?
Yeah, my thing's not finding it.
Okay. Boots fashioned from the scales of a phase wyvern retain the properties of the beast, allowing users to traverse between planes. Wearer's movement speed is increased by 10 feet. Once per turn, the wearer can use 5 feet of their movement to phase between the ethereal plane and the physical plane. The wearer is able to see other creatures in the other plane as ghostly after images. However, they are unable to interact with the creatures not on the same plane as them. They also appear as an after image to creatures on the other plane. The wearer may cast Misty Step once per short rest.
Interesting. I'll stick with the ones I have.
Can you describe the other ones, please? What do they do?
Sure. The Boots of Blinding Speed. These magical boots provide the wearer with blinding speed. While wearing them, for every 5 feet you move using your walking speed, you move an additional 10 feet in the same direction. This additional movement isn't subtracted from your speed when determining how much farther you can move. While moving, you are blinded. The speed is so fast, it takes a moment for the wearer's mind to catch up. As such, during combat, the wearer cannot break up the movement throughout their turn. If they move, they must pick the end location, move there, and end their movement action. Essentially, when you're moving with these boots, you're moving in 15-foot increments, and you need to decide how far you're going with that move. That makes sense?
Dinspeed's going to stay away from those ones.
Would that, if you were in combat and you moved your 5 feet, would they get opportunity of attack, or would you move too fast?
They would get opportunities of attacks, or yeah, attacks of opportunity. But I would say they'd be at disadvantage because of your speed.
Okay.
And then the other pair of boots, last pair of boots is athlete's training boots. Requires attunement by a character with a strength score of at least 13. A pair of beautifully interlocked leather boots that look like they've been made with elven craftsmanship. Once you put them on, you can feel how heavy these leather boots actually are, as if they're used as ankle weights for physical training. In order to attune to these boots, you have to go for a run for at least an hour while wearing them. Once the attunement is complete, you feel enhanced and your feet nimbler, gaining the following benefits. Your speed is increased by 5 feet, and additionally, all strength athletics checks are made with advantage. If you are knocked prone while wearing these boots, standing up uses only 5 feet of your movement rather than half your movement.
The only sad part is Dandy does not have any more attunement slots.
And Dinsbeat does not have a 13 strength.
I have an attunement slot, but I have the boots I like already, which is interesting.
You guys want me to read you the front and then Stunton?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes.
So the boots of Fronten and Stunton, while you wear these totally sick-looking boots, you can use your dexterity acrobatic skill in place of your intimidation skill, as you can intimidate others with your sick flips alone.
Proficient in acrobatics. This would be interesting.
Walking up and somebody like, yeah, yeah, yep, yeah. Do a backflip, and you're like, yeah, what now?
I would shake the ground if I did a backflip when I landed.
Even more intimidating. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. How much are these, Fennel? What would I need to trade you?
You need to trade her an uncommon item or a couple of common items. Or Fennel pauses for a second. She looks hesitantly at Dandy. Or Dandy could sing me a song.
Oh, Dandy, do it. Do it.
Dandy, would you sing a song of the ages so I can have these boots?
I'll sing a song, but would you be willing to give each of us something? I'll make it a special song just for you.
Roll me. What are you wanting?
I'm mostly wanting any magical item to pay off for my sword.
Because, I mean, you could have her.
Didn't you say that there is boots of blinking? Aren't those on the rarer side?
Boots of blinding speed.
Oh.
She'll give you, like, certainly. She'll give you a pair of boots, each of you. Most expensive ones.
All right.
Roll a persuasion check. I'm sure it'll be bananas high, but roll a persuasion check with advantage.
You better sing her a song and take her to bed. Be part of your big song of the adventure.
Natural 20.
Oh!
Fennel says you can have all the boots, all of them,
and me.
Yeah.
All right. Dandy goes ahead and flicks out an instrument, and he'll do, I forget what it's called. I think it's called a pan drum, but this will go along nicely for the song.
Mr. DM, what is Fennel's last name again?
Witherrot.
Witherrot. Okay.
By the way, that name was supplied to us by Namo Plays D&D on Twitter.
Nice. Thanks, man.
I'm going to snag those boots of Fronten and Stunton because, yeah.
All right. So Dandy will go ahead and set up in front of, I'm assuming she has a fireplace.
Yes, she has a fireplace.
Okay, so Dandy goes ahead and begins to play a tune. He got ridiculously high on his performance with a 21.
You belt out some good tunes.
Dinsby's gonna clap and hoot and holler and make a big deal.
Then we'll hum in happiness.
And you guys are clapping and being all excitable. Fennel is ecstatic. She is enraptured by your singing. And when you finish, she like happily pushes all of her boots, like throws the boots at you guys. Just take them. They're yours. Oh my God, that was so amazing.
Thank you, Fennel.
Oh, one more thing before you guys leave. There is some kind of like a turf war going on between a black dragon and the brass dragon nearby. So be wary of that. You might run into them.
Was this black dragon on drugs at any point in time?
No.
That's a really odd question, Dandy.
Well, you see, we met this black dragon and he's dead now.
So, correction, it wasn't black. He's more of a dark purple.
Oh. Okay.
You're talking about Golm.
Yes.
Yeah, Damon killed the shit out of him.
Oh. Yeah. This black dragon's name is Dreadwing the Foul.
How do we avoid them?
The brass dragon that he's having beef with is known as Cragnor the Bold. And the beef is over that little village of farmers I was telling you about. Dreadwing wants to kill them all or subject them, whatever black dragons want to do. And Cragnor is trying to stop them. Just if you see dragons fighting, just go around them.
Yeah, I mean, sounds good. Usually a good plan, yeah.
Fireclaw, you can't wear boots. Stop it. I try to get him out of the boots. I'm not paying attention to what you guys are talking about.
That fits.
Fireclaw does not want to get out of the boot.
I pick up the boot. I don't know which one it is, but
I picked
it up and I'm like, this is his boot now.
The other
Does anybody
boot has
need
the duck.
Other one? Huh?
The other boot has the duck.
I got two boots now, guys. I don't know what to do. I'm sorry.
No, technically now you have four boots. One for each hand and one for each foot.
Do I have to walk on all fours now? Oh, no, I can't.
Have fun with that.
All right. They'll be in whichever ones you guys don't want, because there was four of them together, right? Four different sets?
Yes.
Okay.
Dinsby doesn't want any of them.
I'm assuming, because Dandy, you're saying you want to just use them to continue paying off your debt.
Yeah.
Okay. If you guys can do with all four of the boots, I'll figure that out off screen. How much debt that pays off.
I'm wearing the flipping ones, flipping roll, whatever they're called. Oh my God.
Stunting. Stuntin'.
Yeah, flipping and stunting. Stuntin'. Those are the ones I'm wearing, and I guess they'll be in.
Just put them in your pack for now, or you can tie the laces together and hang them off your pack.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do, because I don't want them to suffocate in my bag, because they're in the boots.
Yeah, so you just use them as pet carriers.
Yeah, just tie them off to the side of my bag, and they're on my back. Just
perfect.
There we go. All right.
Is there anything else you want to do here before you leave Fennel's home?
Dandy takes a pen and signs his name on the pillow he used. Okay. And then he'll go ahead and leave.
Roll me a perception check, Dandy.
Rolled a natural one. It's Dandy is too into what just happened.
Fennel's. Thank you.
Did he sign a pillow or something else?
No, Zen and Dinsby, you're welcome to make perception checks too.
Okay, I'm going to. I'm very confused. What just happened? Oh, I need my proficiency.
An 8.
18.
Okay, it wasn't a hard check. Just Dandy's oblivious right now because he's like, yeah, my name. Fennel's crying. Kind of like, she's like, oh my God, like Jesus has just signed her pillowcase.
So these are tears of joy?
Yeah. She's okay. Having a hard time speaking right now.
Oh, good. I thought that I had literally just ruined somebody's life. Okay.
I'll pat Fennel's head and I'll be like, I'll make sure to bring him back when I come back through.
Thank you so much.
Anything for you. And then I go to walk away.
And you guys mount up and
let's go pudding. We're off.
It's day two. Do you want to get another egg or do you want to not chance it?
I'm good right now. Maybe in another day or two. I'm still working some of that pudding out of my weird scale creases.
And what about the bag of safe places?
It's not working. I don't know what to tell you guys. Well, better just leave it alone.
Coward.
You just had the best time of your life. You're not high off of all that.
No, because the next thing is going to be me dying again. I know what happens.
I'm surprised you're not distracted with all the shit that just happened. And you're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm at the highest point of my life right now. Nothing could go wrong.
No, everything can go wrong.
All right. And with that, as you guys start day two, we will end this episode. Hi. Sorry, I didn't see you there. I was a little distracted by a celebrity in my home. My name's Fennel, by the way. Thank you for taking the time to stop by and listen to the episode. Please follow us on your various social medias. Rate us and review us, and stay tuned for the next episode coming out June 8th. Voices you heard tonight were as follows. Dinsby was by Nicole. Zenizari was by Jasper. The fabulous Dandelion was by Zachary Spangler. And our DM running the show, as well as the temporary voice of Damon, was Tony Spangler. Thank you. See you later. Bye.